storytellers in the scripture is one of the gospel writers named Luke. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 1 today, and you can turn there and at least get ready for that. But Luke, in order to tell the story, talked to a lot of different people in order to get the story right. You know, it's one thing when you tell a story, but you can tell a story, and if it's not all right, then it's not the right story. But one of the things that Luke did was he talked to people who were there, the people who experienced it, the people who were a part of it, and in doing so was able to get the story for us to hear. You know that Luke's the only one that tells us about folks like Zechariah and Elizabeth, and the only one that tells us about an angel Gabriel going to Mary and all those kinds of things. He tells that part of the story, and many believe that the way he was able to do that was he interviewed those who were there. My guess is that Luke talked to Mary to be able to bring the story so that we could get the inside scoop on all the things that had taken place. So Luke wants to make sure we hear this story, and today we're going to look at a story. And the beginning of the story, as Luke has it here, that starts with an old man and an old woman. Now, any of you identify with that? You don't have to raise your hand. There are days I identify with it more than other days. But in this case, we're talking about an old man named Zechariah, who was a priest, and an old woman, and that even sounds bad to say that, doesn't it? But her name is Elizabeth, and that's Zechariah's wife. And this couple are described as just good, godly people. They love God. They've served God for many, many years. I mean, Zechariah served as a priest. And it says that they were people who prayed. They were people who gave their lives to serve God. But as people of prayer, and you would know as well being people of prayer, not all of God's prayers get answered in the same way that you might expect. And not all of God's prayers get answered with the answer we want. True? These folks had prayed for a long time. They'd prayed personally for a long time that someday, somehow, they'd be able to have a child. They'd also come to realize that as they were getting older and older and older, the likelihood of that ever happening got less and less and less. And not only in their culture, but even in ours, but in their culture especially, not having children was one of those things that just kind of almost communicated that they're not blessed by God. Because children are seen as a blessing, right? And we would identify with that most days. But here's Zechariah and Elizabeth, described as being very old, past that time of bearing children, and just figuring, well, that's just one of those prayers where for whatever reason it wasn't answered, and that's still not going to change our trust in the Lord. You know, sometimes that's what you have to come to, isn't it? Even when you're not getting the answers you want, you're not hearing the voice of God the way you want to hear it and the answer that you want to get, but you're still going to trust the Lord anyway. It's not easy, but that's where these folks were living, and that's what they were doing. Now, as a priest, Zechariah had one of those awesome responsibilities. Every once in a while, he was the one selected, because there were many priests, but he would be the one selected to be able to take the prayers of God's people into that place of prayer that was so special. I would have to say one of the great privileges for me as a pastor is bearing the responsibility of the prayer for and the intercessions for a congregation. It's really too much for one person. But Zechariah that day has the privilege of taking God's people's prayers to God. You know, when someone asks you to pray for them, what an incredible responsibility, but also privilege to be asked to pray. And some of you, you get asked to pray by people at work, and they do that because they know you know God. They do that because they know you pray. And that's awesome, isn't it? Realize the privilege you have when someone at work or someone where you live or whatever comes to you and says, would you pray for me, or would you pray for this or for this person? Just consider what an awesome responsibility that is. Well, this particular story in Luke chapter 1 describes how Zechariah goes into that place of prayer. And it's not like it was the first time for him. But something happened in that place that day that had never happened before. And Luke chapter 1 describes how in that place of prayer, as he's bringing the prayers of God's people, that he is encountered by an angel. And he was scared to death. Just think, you'd never been through that before. You don't anticipate that. You're not looking for that to happen. And all of a sudden, an angel of God comes and he is there and he begins to speak to you. And you're wondering, what in the world is going on? But as God and those angels he sends our way almost always says, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid because God's up to something good. I am glad that there are many times when I'm anxious and I am afraid that God often comes and says, you don't need to be afraid. God's up to something good. Just trust me. Well, the angel says to Zechariah that day that his prayer had been heard. Now, here's what I think. I don't think that in Zechariah's mind that he thought that the angel was initially referring to a prayer for a child. Because I think a while back, Zechariah began to think that that's probably never going to happen. But you know what? They didn't just pray about that. They prayed about other stuff and other things and other concerns. And my guess is Zechariah might have wondered, what particular prayer are you talking about? Your prayer's been heard. And then he begins to describe, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. He goes on and just describes how this child will be a blessing to not only Zechariah and Elizabeth, but be a blessing to the world. You know, this whole story reminds me of kind of how God worked back in the Old Testament book of Genesis with two other old people. Abraham and Sarah, right? Promises made. In their case, they had to wait a long time before the promises were ever fulfilled, and they had their doubts along the way, but as God always does, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. We can count on the promises of God. We can rest our lives on any promise God has ever made to us. And so here's Zechariah in that place of prayer, and in that place this angel comes and begins to speak to him and just lets him know that the prayer that he and Elizabeth had been praying for a long, long time had been heard. And as the story goes on, Zechariah can't believe it. I mean, This is just way beyond his ability to fathom that God would answer this prayer this way. And he knew the story of Abraham and Sarah, but he never identified himself as being along that kind of a line. And he gives all kinds of reasons of why that probably can't happen. And you know the story, don't you? How the angel says to him, "You're not going to be able to speak for a while. In fact, until the baby comes, you're going to be silent. You're going to have your mouth shut." So, Zechariah, just prepare for the fact for 9+ months, you're not going to be able to talk. Now, just think about that. He's a priest. That'd be like the Lord saying to me, "You know, Gary, for the next period of time, you're not going to be able to talk." And everyone says, "Amen," right? But this is tough stuff for a priest. This is tough stuff for someone who's responsible to care for and nurture a people for God. Well, when he comes out of that place of prayer, and he'd been in there a little extra long than what even the people were anticipating, it was like they were all looking at their watch. What's up here? Zechariah's not out. Usually it doesn't take this long. You know, it's like, you know, folks with church, you know, always looking at the watch saying, "He usually doesn't preach this long." But they know something's different, something's happened, and when he comes out, it's even more obvious because he does not and cannot speak. And all he's doing is giving these hand motions to try to help them understand what happened. And I don't know how you do with hand motions describe an angel visit, and how you do with hand motions describe that we're going to have a baby and all those kinds of things. But Zechariah was trying to get out what happened, but he would not be able to do it with his voice. And that would be the case for 9+ months. As I was thinking about this whole story, I wondered if the Lord might sometimes want to shut us up for just a little while, so that we could see what God might be up to. I was thinking about the fact that here during this Advent season, one of the reasons the church focuses on Advent and isn't just talking Christmas already is that Advent is that preparation time for ourselves so that we're really ready to celebrate that the Lord has come. It's a time when it's good to just kind of be quiet for a while. You know, I know that this season can get so busy, and we've already been in the middle of a lot of that, haven't we? It can be busy, and it can get noisy, and it can be so active that we have even less time for God. You know? Because we have things to do, and they're important things, and they're good things. But I wonder if maybe Advent should be a time where we determine with God when and where some shut-up time, some quiet time, some silence can take place. One of the tough things is in our culture today, we struggle with the whole idea of silence. Because we have constant everything always going on. If we're in the car, it's a radio. You know, we have our phones and we always have things going on there, or it's a TV or it's computer. We got stuff and we can be so busy and so full of activity that we can miss God. I don't hear an amen. You know what I mean, don't you? And maybe what God might want to just say to us here in the early stages still of Advent, just the second Sunday of Advent, is, you know what? Gary, you know what? Your name. When will we carve out some time to let God have a chance to speak into our lives what we really need to hear? Well, here's Zechariah. He's going to be quiet. His mouth will be closed. He won't be able to say anything for 9+ months. Now, I will have to say that this same thing didn't happen to Elizabeth. Okay? Explain that. Elizabeth has so much excitement. I mean, God has heard your prayers. I mean, I don't know how Zechariah got it across to Elizabeth, but anyway, we're going to have a baby, and Elizabeth is excited about that. And she's probably telling everybody. Though it does say here in Luke 1 that she did have a time of just seclusion where she was quiet and she was thinking as well about what wonderful ways God gifts us and gives to us. Well, some of us might see these 9 months of silence for Zechariah as punishment. It might have started that way in some respects, but I think it ended up being blessing. You know, as Elizabeth is now pregnant and that time is going to be taking place when eventually there'll be a delivery, there's a sense in which Zechariah is also kind of pregnant. And there's something growing in him that at some point in time will come out. In fact, that's where we're headed here this morning. Because by the time you get from the beginning of chapter 1 to the end of chapter 1, a lot takes place. Mary is told that she's going to have a baby, and she's only a virgin, and she don't know how it's going to be, but I'm the Lord's servant, was her response. Mary hears about her cousin Elizabeth, that Elizabeth is going to have a baby, and so she goes to see Elizabeth, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb, little John, leaps in her womb because of the joy that God has brought to these families. Mary sings a beautiful song of praise to God for what God is up to in all of this. But now I want to get us to the end of the chapter, and that's where Zechariah comes back into the mix. And so if you have your Bibles there, and Kim, I didn't put all the scripture there, so this early part won't be there. But I want you to just look for a brief moment, Luke chapter 1. Verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors, relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. It was a time to just get excited. You know what? She never dreamed she'd ever get a baby shower. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. Zechariah Jr., right? But his mother spoke up and said, no, he's to be called John. So here's Elizabeth speaking up. No, he's not going to be Zechariah. He is John. And they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to the father to find out what he would like to name the child. Okay, we know what you think, Elizabeth, but I wonder what Zechariah really wants. He probably wants Zechariah Jr., right? And so he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Smart man, yes. Do what your wife wants, especially when naming the children. But here's the key verse, verse 64. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. You see, Zechariah was pregnant too for 9 months. He was silent, but he couldn't wait to burst out in praise. You know, it's no wonder that music seems to be the language of the Christmas season. How many of you already have been listening some to Christmas music? Whether you liked it or not, right? But you know, music is a part of this season because there is something to give praise to God about. And even in this early Sunday of Advent, when we sing a song like, O Come Emmanuel, where there's this longing, this waiting, this pregnancy, wanting the event to take place soon. When it finally takes place, it's full of praise. When it finally takes place, they're singing. When it finally takes place, here's Zechariah opening up and being set free, and he begins to speak, praising God, and all the neighbors were filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it and asked this question: what then is this child going to be? For the hand of the Lord was on him. Something special is taking place. It wasn't just an old man and an old woman having a child in old age. God was up to something. That's why Zechariah sings. That's why Zechariah gives praise to the Lord. And so I want to come to the passage that actually I'll have on the screen available for you. But his father Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to prophesy. It's a prophecy of praise. It says, "Praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them." Isn't that good news? He has come. It's interesting that Zechariah, when he begins this song of praise, it's not about his own son. It's about what his son's going to be telling us about this one coming to be Savior. Now, Zechariah will sing about his own son a little bit later, but isn't it interesting? He begins the song not about his son John, but about the one that John's going to be preparing the way for. Praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he had said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, now he starts talking about his son, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, to which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. I just want to kind of remind us of what the song is all about. And what really nearly every Christmas song we'll hear, when it's a God-focused song, is always about a Savior, a God who comes. I'm glad we have a God who comes right into the middle of the messy world that we're in. That God has not abandoned us and said, well, it's just too little, too late. There's too much of a mess there. I'm not coming into that. our God comes. And he comes to redeem. He comes to set free. He comes to bring peace. He comes to make things right. Aren't you glad for that? Our God comes and he comes to get everything the way it ought to be. And he starts with us individually, doesn't he? He knows what sin has done to human beings. He knows what sin has done in our world. And he comes and says, I can do something about the sin problem that you have. A Savior's been born. A Redeemer has come. One of the things that makes Christmas and the Advent season so special for us as Christians is that we know this one who has come to be our Savior because he saved us. Amen? We should be able to say amen to that, right? God has done something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. That's what Zechariah sings about, the God who comes to save. And then he does take some time and sings about his own son and how his own son will be the one that prepares the way for that. Calling people to repentance, calling people to forgiveness of sins. Because that's our deepest need. During this season, there's a lot of gift giving that takes place. And that's good and it's fun. And sometimes we'll get this question, especially the older we get now, and you know, it's like, what do you need? And most of the time, well, we don't necessarily need anything. You know, we have the basic need. But you know what we do need? We always need the Savior. We always need God. We always need more in our relationship with God. That it's never quite enough because this relationship needs to keep growing and growing and growing. And so my prayer during this Advent for me is that I'll just grow closer to him because I do need that. How about you? You need to draw closer to God. You need to be able to know God deeper and more fully in your life. My guess is we do, don't we? So during this Advent season, I wonder if the Lord might just simply want to say, you know what? Be quiet a little bit. Maybe even for a little while, turn off the Christmas music. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Open up the book. And read Luke 1, maybe. And be reminded of the God who has come to save. And when you've thought about all that for a while and you've just kind of taken all that in, then crank up the music and sing praise to God for all he's done. Amen? God has been good, and God has kept his promises. Some final thoughts I want to just share with you here on this passage and on this whole story. One of those thoughts is this. Think about this. Zechariah is an old man of faith. Yet he still needs to grow in learning to trust God. Now, no matter how long we've known the Lord, we're going to have another situation and another circumstance and another thing happen that's going to challenge us in our trusting of God. Amen? That's true, isn't it? One thing that we need to continue to grow in is trust of the Lord. Zechariah, old man of faith, but he hadn't arrived. He had a new situation. Was he going to trust the Lord? The second thought I want to leave with you is this. The good news is always worth singing about. Now, you may not be a great singer, but at some point during this Advent season, even if no one is around, and maybe especially if no one's around, sing out loud and give praise to the Lord. Okay? How many of you will promise me that at some point in time that you will promise to sing out loud to God? Some of you aren't very committal on that one, but just if you have to, just make sure nobody else is around. You know, do it in the car, whatever. But if you want to show off, do it when everyone's around. I don't know. Pastor Kayla, we want to have everybody join in singing, right? The third thought to leave with you is this. God never forgets his promises. He keeps his promise. He is faithful. That's why we can trust him. The final thought is just simply this, and I've already said it, but I'll say it one last time, and then I better be quiet. Do take some time this Advent season for some silence, for some reflection, for just some pondering, as Luke likes to put it, what God's doing. And open yourself to whatever new thing he may want to do this coming year. Amen? Well, we're going to sing a song in closing. But before we do that, as the team comes, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the stories of Christmas. Especially we thank you for Luke and his gathering up of these stories from different people and what took place, so that we could have some insight into your work in sending your Messiah into this world. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us some times of silence and then some times of singing during the season of Advent. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us. That's why we celebrate all this, because of your incredible love and mercy. We love you, and we thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.